Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
It's good to be back here with you again.
It's awesome to be here on Sunday night.
It is.
I've been thinking about Peter since last week.
Yeah.
And how he's been, like, just waiting to see when we were going to get into the rest of the passage.
This week has just flown by. It just feels like we were just here.
I know. It seems like 15 minutes ago that we ended the last show. But anyway, here we are back again. And I can't believe how fast time is going.
It is.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, people always, older people, I guess I'm one now, but older people always tell you, well, the older you get, the faster time goes. But I think there's something to that. You know, when you're a kid and you're playing outside, it's like the days are endless.
Endless, yeah. And then when you're sitting in the classroom, it's like it's never going to end. It's like, oh my gosh.
And now it's like week after week, month after month, just fly by.
A minute seemed like an eternity sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's just.
A day is like 1,000 years. Oh, no, wait a minute. But anyway, here we are back again on another Sunday night, and it's good.
Yeah, it is.
And Sunday's a good good day to study the Word and learn about the Word. And
it is.
Worship and, yeah.
Every day's a good day, though.
It is.
But Sunday's the resurrection of the Lord.
Amen.
The Feast of First Fruits.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so, Pentecost, and
yeah,
Upper Room.
You want to talk about Pentecost today? Let's talk about Pentecost today. No, we got to get back to what we're
talking
about.
I was going to do the one at the well. Oh, wait. No, wait a minute. I forgot. We're doing Peter. We're in Matthew 16.
How's your McPherson doing?
Good.
Good?
Yeah. That rainstorm last Friday didn't do much for it.
It keeps it moist.
I dumped all the water out, but.
it keeps the wood moist.
Yeah. Think about planting a flower in it.
It'll probably take root if it's wet enough.
A tomato plant.
Oh, my.
So we started talking somehow or other about how God sees us in our final perfected state as he means us to be. And we were using Peter as an example after just using some short examples from the Old Testament and using the bride from the Song of Songs as an example. But we were in Caesarea Philippi. Well, not actually there, but, I think we probably should read that passage again.
It would be great to go to Caesarea Philippi though.
I was just up there. It's beautiful up there. Oh. Mountains and woods and there's water rushing by. It's pretty neat. But, and I was surprised to find out that it was a pagan shrine at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, but, interesting. And we talked about that a little bit last week, but we probably should read the passage again because we might have a new listener who wasn't here last week.
Sign up and go to our website.
Yeah.
So the four of
you pay attention to this now. We're going to read it again.
Okay.
So this is Matthew chapter 16. And
starting
we did 13 through 19.
13 through 19. So when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Messiah, the son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
Hmm. So we kind of set this thing up last week, but suffice it to say for now that Peter makes this short, concise, powerful confession.
Yeah.
And that Jesus had referred to himself as the Son of Man. Peter refers to him as the Son of God, mm-hmm. as the Son of the living God,
yes,
as opposed to the dead God Pan, who was right behind him.
Yeah.
God, little g, which probably, you know, some statue or something. And, you know, Peter sees this, and of course, this is inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Peter didn't figure this out or deduce it or, you know, contemplate it for a few years and then make a decision.
Yeah.
He makes this confession and he sees the glory that Jesus has when all he's actually seeing is his flesh.
Yeah.
And we ended the show, I think, where by saying he's the Son of the living God, he's saying Jesus is of the same nature and substance mm-hmm. as the Father, that he is in fact God.
Right.
And these were, we can only imagine how somebody like Peter could have dealt with this, you know, based on his background growing up in the synagogue, being a working person who probably didn't study a lot of theology.
Right.
Probably, you know, sort of knew the basic stuff about the Torah and the prophets, but this is the kind of thing that Peter wouldn't normally say.
Right.
So we know that this is an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is the only begotten, but he's of the same substance, the same essence.
Right.
And to get into the rest of this, so we don't do too much more introduction, Jesus approves of his answer.
Yeah.
And praises Peter. I mean, he just praises Peter with this, because of this clear confession that he's made.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as we said last week, Peter speaks truth in conciseness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, you pointed out that when you went there, you learned that this was a place where they worship pagan gods.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that that Jesus would bring them there and that Peter would make this declaration.
Yeah.
These other gods are false gods.
Mm-hmm.
And in that environment, Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a big profession of faith. And as we said last week again, Jesus asked the question, which he's going to ask every one of us, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
You know, and really it's a great question if you want to start a conversation to really get to know somebody and where they're at in their walk with the Lord.
Oh yeah.
Who do you say that Jesus is?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just see the look on some of these people's faces that come into my office thinking they're going to sell their product. And I say, well, before you tell me about your product, let me ask you a question.
Who do you say that I am? And I mean, who do you say Jesus is?
Yeah, and you know, you get a lot of interesting reactions.
I bet.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of a wonderful, sweet lady who's, she's probably in her late, I mean, she's in her late 80s now, but I first met her in 1990,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't a believer then, and I didn't know her, but she had been admitted to the hospital at Deaconess Hospital, and I was pretty much assigned to take care of her. And I went into the room and I saw this lady smiling from ear to ear, and she recounts the story. I don't really remember it very clearly, but she said, you know, she had a Bible on her nightstand, and she said, when I walked in the room, I looked down at the Bible and kind of looked away and then started asking her questions. And she stopped me and said, do you know Jesus is your personal Lord and Savior?
Oh, wow.
And I kind of rolled my eyes and said, no, but we have to do this now. Now she comes to my office and visits. And you're listening, Margie, that was an awesome time. But anyway, so, you know, I hadn't been impacted at that time by the Holy Spirit yet.
Yeah.
You know, so Jesus himself could have been in that room and said, you know, who do you say that I am? She basically asked me, do you know who Jesus is?
Yeah.
And I basically rolled my eyes and said, no. No.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking back on it, you know, we can laugh about it now, but it was really kind of a pathetic situation. You know, happily, I didn't, you know, die that day while I was driving home, having rejected the gospel.
Yeah. I mean, really, if you think about it, it could be a very sobering reminder that if you don't know the Lord, and your time comes, and that question is posed to you, and you say, I don't know who you are.
And you don't know when it's going to come.
No, you don't. You don't know.
Because everybody plans their whole life, you know, but your life could end 25 minutes from now.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're listening to this show,
that's
not good.
No.
Ooh.
Wait until the show's over. No.
We can't afford to lose any listeners. But anyway.
Now we're sounding very vain. let's get back on topic.
Yeah, but that kind of reminds me of that story because I flippantly just rolled my eyes and said, no.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I didn't think about it. Well, I didn't think about it anymore for quite a long time. And then, you know, I think if she, by some foreknowledge that the Spirit would have given her, would have said, well, you know, 25 years from now, you'll be doing a Christian radio show. I would have really rolled my eyes.
Yeah.
I said, that's a good one. But anyway, so Jesus approves of his answer.
Very much so.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool. And he points out what Paul's going to say later, that you know this because it's been divinely revealed to you.
Yeah.
This has come to you in a supernatural way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you're so awesome that, you know, God says, wow, you know, that guy, Simon, he's so amazingly awesome that I'm just going to like give him all kinds of stuff now.
Sharp as a tack.
Man.
Yeah.
Smart, righteous. Never seen such a holy guy.
He wasn't
born into any kind of dignity. He wasn't like, you know, related to some high, rich family in Jerusalem that ran things or had a chain of delis or anything like that.
Yeah.
He was a fisherman. He was a guy who worked. I'm sure his parents were poor. He lived in a poor town.
Mm-hmm.
He was just kind of a normal working, what we would call a working class person that didn't really have a way that he would have merited this.
Yeah.
But through grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's shown to him.
Yeah.
So Jesus says, you know, my Father's revealed this to you. Yeah. And of course, the Holy Spirit is also involved. You know, God is Trinity, so Jesus is there, the Father's there, the Spirit's there, and Peter gets this revelation, and interestingly too, I hadn't thought about this before, but Jesus kind of reminds him of his origin. He calls him, you know, Simon, son of Jonah.
Yeah.
Simon Bar-Jonah. You know, he doesn't call him Peter yet, or Kepha yet, he still calls him Simon, Shimon, but I read this little commentary the other night where it was talking about how Jonah, as in the book of Jonah, means dove.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I knew that. I taught the book of Jonah once to my North Ridgeville group, but I didn't remember that offhand. But so interestingly, this guy who's, you know, basically son of dove becomes a rock because of this profession of faith.
Yeah.
Because of this life-changing revelation that he's had, he goes from being a dove. No, Peter, I never thought Peter was a dove, but he goes from being like this kind of simple guy to being a rock and a rock of faith. And he would have no way to know that because his origins were not that. You know, people always say, well, you know, those guys that are the theologians or those guys that are the priests or the ministers or the rabbi, you know, they're the ones that know all that stuff. They're the ones that, you know, they're the ones that are educated in all that stuff. I can't know all that stuff they know. Well, actually, you can study the scripture and know what they know when you study God's word. I mean, you have a different function than they do. But you shouldn't say, oh, well, you know, I'm just nobody. How can I study the Bible?
Right. Right. Well, when Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father."
Yeah.
You can acquire knowledge about somebody. You can acquire knowledge about Jesus, learn facts and figures about him.
Mm-hmm.
But when you encounter the risen Lord, it's powerful.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus is the Son of God. It says here in chapter 16 here in Matthew. Okay. Well, let me ponder that.
Make a note of that.
Yeah, let me note of that. That's probably true. Okay. Yeah. See, that doesn't impact your life.
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't do any, it really doesn't make an impact, a lasting impression. When you have an encounter, the impression is made. When you make, you think of a steel plant where they impress metal,
mm-hmm.
and this press comes down and impresses it impresses a design or something into the metal. It's impressed into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's permanent. Yeah, unless the metal, but it's permanent. Now, as you were saying, Jesus, Peter went from being Simon, son of Jonah, to Peter, rock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jesus says, tells him this, and I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I don't know if Peter saw himself as rock yet. I don't even know if he saw himself as a dove. But Jesus does remind him of his origin, his earthly origin, and his heavenly calling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the distinction here.
Exactly.
Because in this, Jesus knows Peter and understands Peter, that he's going to be the one who is going to, he knows he's going to be the one that's going to stand up at Pentecost,
mm-hmm.
and deliver that address, if you will, to the people, that in that moment of their own conversion,
mm-hmm.
of this is who this man is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's the Son of the living God.
Yes. Amen.
And so Jesus knows what his call and his purpose is.
Yes.
Peter doesn't yet.
Yes.
We know, Jesus knows what our call and our purpose is. We don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we struggle to find, we really do. We kind of struggle to really find our way through it. But this is a really great example of how God sees us as he created us to be. He sees us because he created us for a specific plan, a specific purpose, and a specific mission in the plan of salvation,
yeah.
in his kingdom,
yeah.
to bring a harvest of souls into the kingdom, a hundredfold yield. So as Jesus tells him this, there's a transformation that is implied, but that transformation really doesn't come about until after Pentecost.
Yeah. And that's kind of like the point that you just hit, that we started talking about this last week, and I didn't know this was going to be a series, but how Jesus already saw what Peter was going to be, of course,
mm-hmm.
already knew all that. Peter didn't know that.
Right.
But all of a sudden he says, "You're the rock." That's a break already.
Wow.
Whew. Remember, check out GiveTheGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Christ for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, join our hearts together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. For clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So not only is Jesus pleased with the answer, approves of the answer, of this clear confession, and he reminds Peter of his origin, which was simple and basic and poor. Now, because of this revelation, he's blessed, and he's happy. He's blessed. He's in a different position.
Yeah.
And God gets the glory for that because his profession of faith came by revelation. And as we said before, Peter doesn't figure this out and say, oh, Lord, I have this figured out now. You're the Son of the living God. You have been thinking about this.
Yeah.
And this is Christianity, that knowing that Jesus is Lord only comes by divine revelation. There's no way you can figure it out because you can't see him. You can't watch him operate. You can't do an experiment where it's going to prove it. You can't ask a computer about it. It's not a mathematical physics type of a problem. And it's also not a philosophical relationship,
yeah.
A revelation. I mean, if you're strictly a philosopher, you can say, well, Jesus had some interesting philosophy.
Right.
Of a way you should live your life. And it's, you know, nice. You do unto others as you'd have them do to you, and you're kind of a pacifist, and somebody slaps you, you give them the other cheek. And, you take care of your neighbor, and, you know, who's my neighbor? Well, the guy who helped them, you know, and it's like, philosophically, it's a nice system of life that can make your life better. But Jesus didn't just come to make our life, you know, to be part of our life or to kind of supplement our life or to make our life a little more interesting.
Yeah.
He came to save us.
He came to save us and give us the fullness of life.
He does want us to live the life that he describes.
Yeah.
But you can live the life that he describes and still be lost if you don't understand who he is.
Yeah.
And, it's, another thing that's happened in our culture, and I don't want to keep talking about that, is, you know, people have now look at Jesus as, you know, he had some interesting points. I mean, we can learn some things from him.
Yeah.
You know, we can learn some things.
We sure can.
Yeah. And so, you know, just like we can learn things from a lot of the philosophers. You know, he's a particularly good one, and a lot of people have been influenced by him. But now Peter sees that in a different light, because now he sees not only this is someone who is giving me a philosophy of how I should live, but he's the Son of the Living God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I just understood this now for the first time.
Yeah.
And Jesus talks to him as somebody who is not only enlightened by the Father, by the Holy Spirit, but talks to him because this is going to be somebody who's going to be an evangelist. This is going to be one of the men who's going to follow the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
So Peter kind of makes the statement that everybody has to make, whether you say it to yourself in your mind and you say, wow, Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the Son of the Living God, or whether somebody's talking to you and all of a sudden you realize and you say, wow, I never realized this before, but Jesus is the Messiah and he's the Son of the Living God and he died for me.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that until this minute. And no matter how it happens, when it does happen, you make that same statement of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter's basically answering for the rest of the group, too. I mean, it doesn't say what the other guy said.
Right.
But it doesn't say anybody piped up and said, Peter, they weren't even calling Peter yet. Simon, what are you talking about? You know, I don't see that at all. I thought he was just a nice guy. You know, nobody else says anything. He's kind of answering for the whole group. He's kind of answering for the whole church, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause those guys gathered there are pretty much the church at this point. And so it's the confession he gives has to be everybody's profession of faith. He just does it verbally, and he does it right to Jesus in front of everybody.
Right.
And Peter didn't usually talk like this.
No, he really didn't. When the Holy Spirit comes and reveals who Jesus Christ is to a person, it's typically a life-changing encounter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just knowing about him. It's knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing that he's physically risen. He's alive. He's there with me, and he's there to walk with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference between, and I don't mean just knowing knowledge about, well, yeah, Jesus walks with us and he wants to take care of us. No, I mean, actually, he's there by my side.
Yeah.
I can, he's there by my side and I can turn to him any minute of the day and converse with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
he wants you to do that.
And he wants you to do that. And, you know, it's like when Jesus says, blessed are you, Father, for revealing to the childlike the mysteries of the kingdom.
It's not
necessarily the wise and the learned. Not that there's anything wrong with learning and being mm-hmm. educated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily the wise and the learned that God needs to use.
Right. Exactly.
Because sometimes, you know, it's really where is the person's heart at? Is their heart open to the Lord to be used in the capacity that God needs them at any moment of the day?
Yeah.
That's really the essence of what's here.
That's right.
You know.
Well put. That's right.
You know, Peter had a, you know, little bit of a tendency to talk past himself, if you will, talk beyond himself. And here he doesn't. He humbly professes, really, you're the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. Mm-hmm. Everything else up until this point anything, and usually anything past this point, is, you know, Peter says some words of wisdom and knowledge, but there's also words of real humanness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got my own plan, Lord, yeah. And I'll never let that happen to you, Jesus. Hmm. You're not going to die. I'll go with you.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
No, you're going to deny me before that happens.
You can't count on these other guys, but me, I'm going with you.
I'm all in. And it's great to say that we're all in, but that's at the start.
Yeah.
Everybody's all in at the beginning.
Oh, everybody. Yep.
Once the race gets going.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, it's that, you know, part of this is it's allowing ourselves to walk with the Lord and respond to those moments of grace where we allow God to form us. We allow God to prune us. And I know you like, I know that your favorite part of the faith walk is pruning.
I knew this was going to involve some kind of pruning.
So. And we got 20 minutes to go. Ooh. So it's going to be a long show. No, but it's the part of the faith, our walk of faith with the Lord, where we allow God to mold us like he's the potter. We're the clay.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants to smooth out all the rough spots. He wants to smooth out all those, you know, the clay that's bumpy and lumpy.
Yeah.
Not the word bumpy and lumpy, but we can have rough edges.
Cut the dead branches off.
Cut the dead branches off. Ooh, yeah.
That's the worst part.
but it's that image of the God as Father is just molding us gently on that potter's wheel.
Yeah.
And he forms us into this, you know, to who he created us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And by walking with the Lord and by cooperating, if you will, with God's grace, God will lead you one step at a time on the path that he's made for you, and he'll help you to grow one step at a time, that along the way he's going to teach you things that you're going to need to know for what he has planned for you in the future.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the journey is the most important part. A lot of times we focus on the end part.
Right.
You know, tomorrow's the conference and, oh gosh, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
But you know what? And I think you and I can both attest to this, is when we're preparing for something, man, God really teaches us.
Absolutely.
I always get more out of a presentation, I think than the people do. Because,
oh, yeah, me too.
Because as I'm preparing for it, he shows me so much.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way I can fit all that into the presentation.
That's right.
And plus, it's that intimacy that you experience with the Lord in those moments when he's teaching you that are just so profound.
Yeah. And that's why I don't like to do what I call reruns. You know, I like to do a new teaching when I'm going to do something, because you learn so much. You get so much more revelation.
Yeah.
And not that you don't even from the old ones, because every time you reread the word, you get some other insight, some other revelation. But when you do a new teaching you would have never done before, you see that particular part in a totally different way.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful that, as you know, because we both go to a lot of the same places at the same time. But, I mean, sometimes during a presentation, I just kind of stop and go, wow, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden now something else was shown to me that I didn't know before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm the one who made the outline or the PowerPoint or the handout or whatever it is. But now all of a sudden you see something else you didn't see before. And even small things have a lot of power.
It's usually in that small thing where, and I know that you've experienced this as well, where you're teaching and the Lord reveals something to you as you're teaching it that he didn't show you when you were preparing for it.
Yes, absolutely.
And you're standing there going, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
People say, what's the matter?
Like, the Lord just showed me something. Yeah. They're like, he did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's very powerful, because the Holy Spirit's always at work.
Mm.
And he's working through his word, and And so now this is looking good. So Peter now gets renamed Rock. I mean, now he's called Peter.
Or Simon gets previewed. Yes. Yeah,
Simon, because he's Simon. Up to this point, he's still Simon. We tend to, you know, kind of forget that he's Simon.
Yeah.
I hardly ever call him Simon, but he's Simon. And now he's Petros in the Greek, which means rock.
Yeah.
And now he's a rock. His profession of faith is also a rock, because that profession of faith is a solid foundation that everything else has to come from.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe what Peter just said, you're going to develop your spiritual life and live your spiritual life in a totally different way than if you believe Jesus was a very interesting man who lived 2,000 years ago, and he was a really good teacher, and too bad he didn't write any books, and he had these really good philosophical concepts. Mm-hmm. You're going to live your life a different way.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be based on a rock. It's going to be based on something about Jesus that doesn't really make him any different than anybody else. What yeah. Peter says makes him the only begotten of the Father, makes him the monogenes. No one can ever be like that again.
Yeah.
No one ever will be that again. And it's, you're going to have a totally different spiritual life. There were lots of, quote, rabbis who were walking around with disciples. I mean, John the Baptist had disciples.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of people walking around that were teachers that right. had disciples.
Yeah.
And that was cool, you know, and they walked around and prayed, and the guy taught them stuff, and
mm-hmm.
it was nice. But this is different. This is, yeah. you know, Peter's saying, you know, I've seen some of these guys walking around.
Yeah.
And I've seen some of these guys teaching. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. I never said that to anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, you know, philosophy is a good thing to study. I have a friend of mine who's down at the University of Franciscan University.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, kind of really getting into the whole philosophy thing and, you know, cause he's studying it and I'm like, yeah. okay. And, you know, We talk a lot, and you know, the one day I said, you know, it's great that you're studying philosophy, but you know, you're not gonna encounter the Lord through philosophical arguments.
Yeah, that's right.
And then later on, he goes, "I read Father Scanlon's book, Let the Fire Fall."
Oh, yeah, that's an awesome book.
And he goes, "You know, I used to think I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I have to say that I'm not."
Yeah.
And it's night and day. And a lot of people can think that they have been immersed in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But when you're immersed in the Holy Spirit, you will never forget it.
That's right. And for those of you who don't know about Franciscan University in Steubenville, there's a priest who was, appointed to kind of close the place down with Father Scanlon. I'm blanking out with his first name.
Michael
Scanlon. That's yeah. right. He recently died not too yeah. long ago, but they sent him there to kind of, you know, put the land up for sale and close the place down because
yeah.
it was a college that was doing really badly.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they had one dorm and there was a for sale sign in front of it.
yeah.
And then, he went out in the middle of the campus with some people and they prayed and they raised their hands and said, "Holy Spirit, come and do what you want here."
Yeah.
And boom.
Boom.
The for sale sign went down. The Holy Spirit has been falling on that place since whenever that was, yeah. the early 80s.
Yeah.
And if you ever go there for what they call festivals of praise, you know, you go there on a Saturday evening and there's 2,500 college students praising the Lord.
Yeah.
You see, you know, Franciscan monks and their habits that are kind of dancing around with their hands up.
Yeah.
And then you think, wow, this is yeah. pretty unique.
Yeah. So when he said that, I was like, okay, that's really cool
yeah.
because that's the Lord showing him.
Amen.
Yeah.
I like this song,
ooh.
Too. Ooh, I love this song. Anyway, check out GetThroughGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
For the Lion of Judah, the Lamb who was slain, who ascended to heaven and nevermore will reign. At the end of the age, when the earth to reclaim, you will gather the nations before you.
the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified, who descended to hell, yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry,
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I love that song.
That's an awesome song.
Woo.
Lion of Judah.
Can you play that at One of Messiah?
I can. Oh. Lion of Judah.
Woo.
That's the CD that it's off of.
Yeah.
The title of the song is You Are the Lion of Judah. You're the Lion of Judah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Paul Wilbur sings it.
He does.
Yes. It's got WilburMacy.com.
Mm-hmm.
Lion of Judah. Tell them Uncle Phil sent you.
Yeah, and you might as well buy, you might as well buy a few CDs, because if you buy one, then you're going to want to go back and buy the rest of them anyway. So
give them as gifts.
Give them as gifts, yeah.
Buy, stock up now for Christmas.
And
Paul,
Hanukkah.
Oh. Paul chuckles at you when you tell him you give him advertising.
Always. Yeah, he gets free advertising all the time. So interestingly, too, the one more point about this before we do something else, but the show's moving along here.
It is.
I'm through some of my notes. But anyway, you know, Jesus also mentions about the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against this.
Yeah.
So he's saying there's going to be enemies fighting against you, and there's going to be enemies fighting against the church.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't going to be a easy, like you were talking about before, it's not a 100-yard dash and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long journey.
Yeah.
You know, Paul commonly compares it to an athletic event. You run the race, you train, you keep your eyes on the prize. And,
yeah,
you know, he doesn't say, well, you know, you just sign the card and you're in and then you can just relax.
Go home.
Go home, relax, watch some TV. And,
come back next week.
Come back next week. But, you know, it's a journey. It's a, it's not even a marathon run. It's a long walk.
Yeah.
And you may become a believer today and you're 20 years old and you may live to be 100, in which case you have an 80-year walk.
Yeah.
Or you may die when, you know, 4 years from now and have a shorter walk.
Yeah.
But it's not a sprint.
Right.
And you're done.
Right.
It's not an event that happens one time and you're done. You have to live this out.
Yeah.
Paul says, you know, you train. People train to get a perishable crown, which was a bunch of leaves that they put on your head.
Yeah.
And they spent months and years training to get a crown of leaves on their head. And then the next day the leaves were all wilted.
Yeah.
So he said, why don't you train to get an everlasting eternal crown that you're going to have in heaven? So it's long. And on that journey, and I think Jesus is pointing this out to Simon, now Peter, there's going to be struggles because there's going to be enemies coming against you.
Yeah.
And there's going to be times where you're going to say, I can't believe all this resistance. Yeah. I can't believe all this conflict.
Yeah.
But don't worry, because the evil's not going to prevail against you.
Yeah. You know, and as you're saying that, I'm thinking about he's going to tell Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
Yeah.
You know, that isn't even happening yet, but he's going to tell him that later on.
Yeah.
And then he tells his disciples, pray that you're not going to undergo the test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't even stay awake 1 hour here.
Yeah.
And you have no idea what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to prepare them. And as we've talked about many times, they walked with him. They just didn't, you know, they just didn't see it, you know. It's kind of like us talking about Adam and Eve not knowing what death was.
Yes.
You know, they never experienced it.
So that's right.
Never had an idea of what it was. But Jesus is going to tell him later on, Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality of being a disciple, an ambassador for Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
If anybody tells you that the walk of faith and being a disciple of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the gospel is luxurious, or that it's easy.
Yeah.
It's not.
Talk to our brothers and sisters in the Middle East.
Yeah.
In places like Iraq and Syria. Where the Christian populations have been decimated.
Yeah.
And I still think about this guy who lived in Iraq, and he was a Christian, and he had his church in short distance from his house, and he had a job, and he had kind of this cute little house, and then ISIS came, rounded them all up, and they marked the houses of all the Christians with the Arabic symbol for Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew where all the Christians were.
Yeah.
Took them to a camp.
Mm-hmm.
He escaped, and he said, you know, I had a nice house, I had a church, I had stuff. He goes, but when I got out of there, when I escaped from this camp, all I had was Jesus, and all I had was my faith. I didn't have anything else with me.
Yeah.
And you know, we complain if we have to park too far away from the door, or the pew's not comfortable, or you know, it's raining, I don't think I should go to church.
Yeah.
You know, it's
it puts it into perspective, because we have it cushy here.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that.
Yes.
That's the sad part.
That's right.
We don't realize it. We complain about a lot of nonsensical things.
And we've had some, you can't really call it persecution yet. We've had some hostility against us. We've had some challenges to us, but we haven't had persecution.
Nothing like that. No.
Because if somebody comes to your house and marks your house so they know you're a Christian, and then a couple of weeks later you're on your way to a camp, you forget about how far you parked from the door and whether the church was too hot or too cold, or whether the guy sitting next to you in the pew was annoying.
Yeah.
Which some of them are. But, but you know, we look at things in a different perspective. And Jesus is telling Peter, things are going to happen to you. There's going to be this, but the gates of hell aren't going to prevail.
Yeah. And Satan is relentless.
Oh.
He
never stops.
He tempted Jesus in the desert. The Son of God, he tempted him 3 times in the desert. And Jesus used the word of God to rebuke him.
Ooh, all from Deuteronomy.
All from Deuteronomy.
It's like my third or fourth favorite book.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the power of the word. It's a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And we have to get out of thinking that once we make that statement of faith, now we got it made.
It's just the beginning.
Now the life is, you know, I'm just going to get up in the morning and say, today, here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because it isn't that.
Yeah. It's just the beginning. And a lot of times, sadly, a lot of people do look at it that way. They go through, you know, either catechesis classes or they take some courses, and then they think that they're done with it.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning, because it's equipping you to do something else later on.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do what God wants me to do a month from now if I don't do what He's asking me to do today. Because what He's asking me to do today is going to prepare me for next month.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It all builds on each other.
It does.
Oh, man. I got lots more notes. We haven't even gotten to what Peter says next. Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
We'll do another show next week. I promise. Well, we just pray that as Peter gave this profession of faith, you too would respond to God's grace and say, "You are the Messiah, Lord, the Son of the living God." God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.